Blog Talk Radio.
It's the weekend your wallet has been waiting for. Right now at Old Navy, pay no tax on your entire purchase. Get fashion essentials like super soft tees, crazy comfy hoodies, and the hottest jeans. And relax, there's no tax. Just in time for back to school, shop kids' styles for up to 60% off and totally tax-free. Plus, get an extra 10% off when you spend $50 or more. Hurry in to cash in on this tax-free deal today and tomorrow only. Run to Old Navy. Tax-free, valid 8/5 to 8/7. Kids' sale 7/28 to 9/2. Select styles only.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary in doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Good morning, and welcome once again to our weekly internet broadcast. Thank you, little Gregory Bunton. Oh, I am so glad and honored to be with you this morning. You know what this show is all about, to inform you and to encourage you and to challenge you to be all you can be. We're in for a great time this morning. I'm excited about our guest that's coming on this morning. I'm excited about our guest, and he's on hold right now. But before we bring him on, we just want to say hello to our sponsor. Here at our at this here program, we want to give a shout out to Beverly Beasley and her staff over at Granny Place, who's a nonprofit organization that's meeting the needs of our young men and women through computer literacy, through after school programs, and things that makes a difference in their life. Amen. Again, I want to say hello to the young men that we encounter at our jail ministry over at the Hutchinson Jail Unit. We do a Bible study over there every Thursday, and the young men are very eager and excited about the Word of God. And I'd like to give them brothers a shout-out. Brother, y'all keep it up. Keep it up. Continue to seek the face of God. Amen. Amen. Man, as we get ready to bring our guest on this morning. Oh, I'm excited about our guest this morning. We're having the man represented for the men's of Nehemiah Ministry, the Outreach Relief Ministry. Amen. I'd like to bring on at this here moment here, John Sergeant Stewart. Amen. Good morning, Mr. Stewart.
Good morning, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Sarge, welcome to our weekly internet broadcast, and I'm excited about you being on here. Will you please introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell us about your ministry?
Yes, sir. I'm very grateful to be here, and I want to first give all praises due to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm Command Sergeant Major John Stewart. I'm known as Sarge. I'm one of the Command Sergeant Majors of the Men of Nehemiah. The Men of Nehemiah is basically a Christian community service movement. We're a ministry that helps alcoholics and drug addicts and men who are recovering from homelessness, substance abuse, and those types of things. Our goal is to rebuild the community, which is why we took on the name Nehemiah, because in the Bible, Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king. And he was so sad, the king said, "What's wrong?" He says, "I need to go back. My temple of my God has been destroyed. My community has been destroyed. I need to go back and to rebuild it." Now, before he went to the king, he had prayed a prayer. And anyone who has their Bible knows that in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, he had a prayer. When he prayed that prayer, God gave him favor in the eyes of his king. And the king gave him everything he needed to go back and rebuild his community. And that's what we're about. We're Christian-based discipleship. With the military component to it, so that we try to deal with rebuilding the whole man. Most rehabs deal with a portion of the man. They may work on the mind, they may work on the spirit, others may work on just the spirit. We deal with the whole man. We start with the spirit because we know that's the most important component. Once you rebuild the spirit and you get it in the Lord, then what that does is that starts to alter the thinking of the individual. Once the thinking is altered, then the emotions become altered. Once the emotions become altered, we have the military component to build the physical. And through that, we have what you call a holistic approach. We touch each aspect of the man so that he is rebuilt from the inside out rather than the outside in. And we've been in Dallas now 2 years. This is our second year. We're very excited. The commander in charge is Lewis Harrell Jr. His father, Lewis Harrell Sr., was the one who started Nehemiah back in New Orleans before Katrina around 92. They are featured on Channel 11 News at one time. So the ministry has grown. It started in New Orleans, and now we're the second chapter here in Dallas, Texas. And we're excited because we're located at 2010 Grand in South Dallas. Our whole objective is to rebuild the community by starting with the source of that rebuilding, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and starting with the same thing that our Heavenly Father did, Adam. So if we rebuild the men can go back and be the men of their families. And by going back and being the men of their families and being able to be the leader, then they can inspire the women, and the women will teach the children, and as the families heal, so heals the whole community, one family at a time.
Amen, amen. That is a great effort. That is a great effort. And I like the format and the layout of this here because, you know, as we deal with the whole man, you know, the mind, the body, and the soul. Amen. And as your group is going forth, I'm looking at your flyer right now. What a beautiful flyer here. What an impact this flyer makes. And I see that you're involved in various aspects of the community. And would you care to share some of those things with us?
Yes, sir. What we believe is we don't want to be just an organization that takes care of its own in terms of just working with those who come to us. We believe that those around us need ministering too. So as part of that program, what we do is we go out into the community. We work with the Operation Relief Center located at 2010 Grand. We work with elements of the Martin Luther King Center. This past Valentine's Day, we were escorts for some of the senior citizens that were there. We sang, we volunteered. We help pass out plates. You know, we do these kind of things. We go to churches and they ask us to come and we minister and we share our stories and we do praise and worship. We go to different places and we connect with businesses we have a way of rebuilding the men through some type of a work type of relationship once they have gotten past that first 90-day initial phase. So we help rebuild them and help them to get acclimated into going back and becoming an effective, functional part of their community, an effective, functional part of their families, and an effective, functional part of whatever church they choose to go in. We try not to just talk about our Father's business. We try to be about our Father's business.
Amen, amen. And that makes a difference. That makes an impact in the community and the surrounding community. Now, how do men get involved in your program? How do they, stand up?
Well, what we have is a 9-month to 1-year program. It's basically designed so that we can get the individuals to come in voluntarily. The reason that is important is because of the fact we have a very strong military component. And within the first 90 days, there is a lot of training in terms of the military aspects. They learn physical training and exercising. They learn military facing movements. We call it drill and ceremony. They're taught discipline through these. We march a mile and a half 3 times a week through the streets, and we sing Christian cadences proclaiming Christ's love and his word and his mercy and God's word. So they have to be willing to do some things that they wouldn't have to do in other types of recovery programs. We're very, very military-orientated. Our staff carry military rank. We have Colonel Lewis Harrell, Colonel Rose Richard, Major Jay Alexander, Major Jackie Gordon, Major Brian Smith, Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Harrigan. We have, so all of our structure is military, so they have to learn military time. They have to learn their chain of command. They have to learn the NCO chain of command, which means non-commissioned officer or the sergeants. They have to learn all of this, plus they learn 15 biblical principles, which are similar to the 12-step recovery programs. Part of my job is to do operations, daily operations, special duty assignments. I'm also the senior drill instructor and physical training officer. So we do a lot of things, but it's all on a military basis, and in order for that to work, we need people who are willing to submit. One of the biggest problems with most alcoholics and addicts are they have been running on their own self-will most of the time. So to be willing to submit to the Lord and submit to authority is one of the biggest problems that we have as addicts. I've been in recovery now going on 21 years. One of my biggest problems that I faced when I first came in was I didn't want to follow rules and regulations. And it hinders one when one is continually disobedient, even though they're trying to do something to change their lives. So this component is very, very important, and the will to submit is very, very important, because what it teaches them is the humility necessary to be willing to seek the Lord and to be willing to allow the Lord to use them, and understand that recovery is not about what you get, it's about what you give back.
Amen.
That's something and giving back, not just getting something and ending up on a big house on a hill with a car and a family. It's about being willing to go back where you came from and reach down and help somebody else out. Show them through what the Lord has done for you that they should have hope too, that there is another way out, and we don't have to end our lives dying from alcohol and drugs and allowing our families to go down the tubes because they're spending all their money getting us out of jail or getting lawyers. And also to heal the family, we work with the family. We have a family day at least once a month where the families come in as a whole, and we sit down and we minister to them, and they get to see their loved ones in action in terms of what they're doing and what the ministry is all about. And it's kind of like a potluck thing, you know, in terms of everybody pitching in and bringing things. And it's a great thing, because we know that if you only heal the addict or the alcoholic and you don't heal the family that's had to deal with this person, then they remain sick and they don't even know they're sick.
And amen.
That's a sad situation. So we try to work with not just the men themselves, but to mend the families, you know, help the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the aunts, the uncles, the nieces, the nephews, the children, you know, the mothers and fathers, the grandmothers and grandfathers, whoever it is that was significant to them, that had been praying for them, that had been doing what they could to help them. We try to give them a different approach to let them know that you need healing too. The Lord doesn't just heal those, you know, he says, I come to those who are sick, but if you don't realize you're sick, if you put it all on the other person, and there's not the healing process that's necessary. Everybody
Amen.
That's affected is sick.
So, right.
So we work with
Sergeant,
everybody.
Hold on right here. We have a call on the line, and we're going to bring them in and let them chime in. Good morning. You're on the net. Good morning, you're on the net.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, welcome to our weekly internet program. We have Sergeant Stewart on the line. Would you like to say hello to him?
Hello, Sergeant.
Good morning, good morning, how are you?
Good morning. I only caught part of what you guys were saying, so I don't want to comment. I'm not sure what you guys are saying. Were you talking about issues within our families?
Okay. What I'm talking about is if someone has been affected by being addicted to alcohol or drugs, there are certain behaviors that they have exhibited. There are certain things that they have said. There are certain actions they have taken which have created a very harmful environment in terms of the family that has been supporting them. one of the things that that addiction does is it creates a situation where a mother might not normally sell the food stamps. The addiction will cause her to sell those food stamps. That's going to have an adverse effect on the children. A father might to sell the kids Christmas toys because of the addiction and then disappear for a week and not come back. That's going to have a very serious impact on the whole family. As these behaviors continue to perpetuate themselves, and the person that's addicted comes into their lives and then disappears for days, weeks, or even months, and then goes back and forth, that creates a very, very harmful environment. It's not conducive to learning what a solid family structure is because it's the exact opposite. So everybody in that structure is going to be affected in an adverse way. And that's where the problem comes in because the nurturing that the children should get, they don't get. The nurturing that the spouse should get, they don't get. And as a result, the whole family dynamics changes. And it creates one where everybody's affected. So in order to rebuild the family, in order to make the family unit what it was or what God meant it to be, then it's important to involve everybody in the recovery that the addict or the alcoholic is taking part in so that they can heal and they can understand some things about what addiction is or what alcoholism is and how it has affected them so that they can understand that a lot of things that they have blamed themselves for was really not their fault. Because there's a lot of guilt in those kind of families.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting that you guys are discussing this because I just had this conversation with a cousin of mine. And, you know, he came to my city to stay with me, you know, to try to regroup and rebuild. And, you know, he drank a lot. And when he drank, a lot of things come out. And I understand very clearly what a lot of his issues are. And I was telling him the other night, I was telling him, I said, listen, everything is going to change with us. I said, you know, your father, our mother, they didn't stick together. They turned to drinking. We don't got to follow that path. And in order for us to drink, it's up to us. And this is what I was telling him because, you know, when he came in, you know, when he was drink, I started seeing, like, my uncles when I was younger. And
right.
Our family really was basically alcoholics, per se. And once my grandmother died, the family broke up and they became alcoholics or whatever the situation was. But what I was trying to explain to him is that he said it's a curse. I said, it's not a curse. It's not a curse. It's up to us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to do with what they are accustomed to and what they used to say. Your child is going to say the same thing. What our parents did,
yes.
They was not strong.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't stay together and make sure we all stay together. So it's up to
mm-hmm.
us to change that.
Yeah, you're so right. I tell you what, now, have you thought about getting your relative involved in the after treatment program? That's what the Sarge talk is all about. Now, he's going to give us some numbers here prior to him getting out. I would like for you to give him a call offline and just maybe you can get your relative involved in the aftercare program, in a recovery program.
Well,
yes,
I'm very receptive to that, but I think he needs more. Maybe a psychological aspect, you know, a therapist to talk and get stuff out so that it don't get to that point. He doesn't like, to me, when he drinks, everything that he probably been through and wants to say that he normally don't say, it comes out. And I see it, in my opinion, that's his way of dealing with stuff.
Let me interject something right there, sister. Let me explain something.
I'm going to put you on hold there, my sister, and let the sergeant go on, and we're going to bring you back in. Because the sergeant, he's really hitting on some things, so just kind of take note of it, and please just hold on. We'll bring you right back, okay?
Now, see,
just go right ahead, sergeant.
Okay. There were some important things that were just spoken here. One of the things that we look at as to whether or not when we screen people, men to come into Nehemiah, is we want to see a need in the person. And then we also want to see a want, which leads to desire to change. Because until one sees a need to change, one won't have the necessary desire. So a need has to come first. So we look for people who are desperate enough, who have tried on their own so many different ways, who may have been through different treatments, who has finally surrendered themselves to the fact that without God, it's not going to work. And
hey,
once we come to that point, then we can do something.
Sarge, tell me something before we bring this young lady back on. What can she do as a family member when a person just, they're not there yet? Does she need to back off, or what does she need to do to try to compel them to get some help to a ministry like yours or something similar to it?
Because you can't really compel anybody to get to the point where they see a need. And until they see a need, and they get to the point of stop trying to do it on self-will or self-reliance or self-confidence, there's not too much you can do other than let them hit a bottom by stop saving them from themselves. And what I mean by saving them from themselves, they hit a car, they go to jail. You run and you get a lawyer, you spend $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 to get them out of trouble. You get them out of trouble, but look at the financial cost you have cost the family. And then not too long after that, they do something else. They're right back in jail, or they're right back in another situation, and now you're still paying for the last situation. So you have to understand the importance of letting them hit bottom. In other words, let them experience the consequences for their action. Stop trying to save them. We call it enabling them. Let them hit bottom so that God can finally get to them. Sometimes we get in God's way because of our love for our loved ones. We don't want them to suffer certain things. And when we step in front and we catch them before they hit for the consequence, then God can't do what he do.
Amen.
We have to get
Amen.
Out of God's way and let God do it his way. So many times we tell God, okay, God, we turn them over to you, but then here we go rescuing them again. Here we go enabling them again. And God can't work until we get out the way. He's not going to make us do anything.
Amen. So we're going to bring this young lady back in, and then, hello, caller, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, now the sergeant spoke some words that was really impactful and really thought-provoking. Until you and your relative come to the conclusion that things are out of control, you know, because that's the purpose of this show, is to inform and to encourage and to challenge our listening audience. You've been informed, that you've taken on the challenge that you have to step back sometimes, no matter how much it hurts, you know, until they, you know, hit rock bottom and say, hey, I need some help. And so we want to thank you for calling in. So go ahead, have a few minutes now. We need to sign off. We'll make your comments brief, and we'd love for you to call back again at a later date.
I'm gonna make this very brief. I don't think that I should step back away from the situation because I'm I have a thorough understanding of what he's going through, and he needs someone to tell him that it's a different way to handle it. You know, I fell through the same trap, and I pulled myself up. You know, so sometimes, you know, we can't follow the pattern of what our parents may have done or what anybody may have done. And I think that he's not violent or nothing like that, but if he don't have nobody to tell him, you know, how to deal with stuff, that's what is needed. And, you know, the only way for God to work for you is through you. So you got to do it yourself. And if people are so caught up with the past and not letting it go, then they're going to continue to drown themselves in their sorrows and drink. And they're not even going to be receptive. I mean, not receptive, but not even thinking about another way to deal with it, because they only deal with it the way that they know how. So I think it's very imperative to help and talk to these individuals. You know, to me, in my opinion, he don't need AA. I think he needs to deal with psychological issues because of what he's been through. And once he goes through that, all of that will change.
Okay, then. Okay. Carla, I understand. I'll tell you what, we'll bring that up on a later show. Hey, thank you very much. Because of time don't permit us to go on any further, we want to thank you for calling us, okay? And please stay tuned to this station because we want to encourage you and to inform you that there is help, that you don't have to go through this alone, okay? And there's organizations, there's programs, and there are people with like passion, godly people that's attempting to reach the needs of our brothers and sisters, because all of us have been through some things, but none of us stand alone. As Nehemiah built that wall, he built it with people of like mind and like heart. So just get some help, whether it's psychological, chemical dependent, but get some help. Don't try to do it yourself. And we want to thank you for calling on, and we want to let our guest have the last word before he signs off, because we have another guest that's coming on. So, Carla, please stay tuned and listen to our next guest.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Reverend Lewis. Let me put out the number. Our main office is located at 2010 Grand Avenue in South Dallas on the corner of Grand and Harwood. You can't miss us. You look on the second floor and you'll see the banner of a gold arm holding a cross with the name Nehemiah going across it. Our phone number at the office is 214-421-5363. That's 214-421-5363. You can ask for Colonel Rose Richards. She's basically in command of the center. You can ask for me, Sarge. You can ask for Colonel Lewis Orell Jr. He's the executive director of the program. You can ask for Patrick Vigbidor. He's the other command sergeant major. You can ask for Major Jacqueline Gordon. These are basically the main part of the staff, and we're located there 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. in the afternoons. During the Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, I open up a lot earlier, but that's because of the physical training. If you have any questions for me, my cell number is 469-335-3998. And we would be glad to answer questions. If you have someone who is out there who is hearing this broadcast who really thinks that the men in Nehemiah may be able to help them, you must be a man. You must be an adult, 18 years old or older. You must be willing to come into a military-style recovery program. Your hair must be short or we will cut it. You cannot come in with dreads. Beards are not allowed. You can have a mustache which does not cross the bottom part of your lip. No mandrakes. And your sideburns are only to the middle of your ear. You must be in physical condition enough to be willing to train, and you must have the mental capacity of an adult. Those are the basic criteria, and you must have a desire to be helped.
Amen.
We have
that's
a schooling
powerful.
Process. Yeah, and we'll work with you. We'll work with you. We do have some who are on probation or parole. We work with the courts. We work with the Gateway Program, the City of Dallas. We do a lot of stuff with a lot of different communities. So, give us a call. We also accept donations because we do not have grants. All of our support comes from churches and ministries that see what we do and are willing to pitch in. We need money. We need boots for the men, uniforms. You can contribute time. Just, we have a volunteer corps. So we're asking if you want to volunteer, then you can do that. The point of contact for the volunteers would be Colonel Rose Richard. Every Sunday, we feed the homeless. We have a ministry that feeds the homeless breakfast in the morning, and we have a little church service for them at 2010 Grand. okay? So that's something you, if you want to volunteer for, you can come in and volunteer for. Again, if you want volunteer services, contact Rose Richard. If you want to make donations, et cetera, she's also the point of contact. Colonel Lewis Horrell is also the point of contact. Or Patrick Rigbydor, the other command sergeant major. If you want to know more about the training, then you can contact me. Special duty assignments, you can contact me. But it's been an honor and a pleasure, and I know that God is in the healing business. He loves us, and he loves us in spite of, not because of, and that's the greatest asset that we have is him.
Amen, amen. Sorry, before we let you get off the line, we got one more call, and they just want to say hello, maybe chime in. Just give us 2 minutes.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the net.
Hello, Brother Lewis.
Good morning, we have Sergeant Major. Good morning, Brother Daniel. We have Sergeant Major on the line. He's about ready to get off, and we want to thank you for calling in. If you have anything, just come in read briefly. We'll give you a few seconds, then we're going to let the Sergeant Major sign off.
I'm glad to hear somebody got some kind of we would call that like the boot camp for technique, you know, helping most of these youth men get their mind back together and really installing discipline inside the body, you know, in the mind, you know. Yeah. And a lot of them,
great,
sure. They really don't have discipline. They got their discipline problem. They're not disciplined because they do what they want to do at home. And, you know, really, most of these families are mostly born by the mothers trying to raise a man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's very true.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for your comment there, Brother Rick. We need to move on with our program, and we have another guest coming on.
Okay.
So we'd love to put you on hold, and I want you to continue to listen to the program.
Okay, thank you.
All right there, Mr. Daniel.
Look.
All right, I'll put you on hold. Sergeant Major, thank you very much for being part of our weekly Internet program, and we would love to have you to be a guest at a later date because you have so much to share with us.
Oh, yes, by God's grace, I've been in recovery 20-plus years. I spent 16 years in the United States Army. I've learned a lot of things, and by God's grace, I've made it through a lot of things. And, you know, I was trying to share with that one caller that you have to sometimes let them hit bottom, and that was my story. I had to be literally stripped of everything and everybody around me for me to realize that they weren't my problem, that I was my problem. And God wasn't the problem, he was the solution. But that's where it took for me to finally seek him and to finally get with him, and then my life changed. It was rough, but, you know, there's a process to it. But by, you know, submitting myself to him and submitting myself to change, it worked. And I want to say this quickly, you know, it's not how you get recovery, it's that you get recovery. Some people can go to AA and get it. Some can go to NA and get it. Some can go to church and get it. It's not where you get it, it's how you get it, and that you get it, and that the Lord is the center of it, not us.
Amen. Well, thank you there, Sergeant, and God bless you. You've been a great guest. Amen. And we're looking forward to having you on at a later date. Amen.
Oh, I'd be glad. I'd be glad to.
God bless you. Amen. That concludes our interview that was Sergeant Major, and what a great interview that was. Amen. And we have a couple of callers on the line, and we're getting ready to bring in our next guest there. But we want to continue with this here program. We pray that you've been blessed by what's going on there. We pray that this program makes a difference in your life. Our prayer and desire is that you to be informed, that you to be encouraged, and you to be challenged to be all that you can be, that you don't have to do this all alone. There's men and women and programs that's embedded through the grace and the will of God to allow you to say, hey, what can I do to help my loved one? What can I do to even help myself? Amen. And as we get ready to bring our next guest on, our next guest is a very good friend of mine. Our next guest is a man of purpose. Our next guest is he's going to share with about things of dealing with our young people here. Amen. And I'm going to allow him to come on. It's Reverend Johnson from Bel Air Baptist Church in the Oak Cliff area. He's going to come on, and he's going to share with us some things that are dealing with our young men and women. So, Carlos, hold on. He may have a word of encouragement for each and every one of you. Amen. Good morning. We bring our guests on. Good morning, Reverend Johnson.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. I'm doing fine. Welcome to our weekly internet program here. I just gave you a slight introduction. We have a couple of callers on hold, so we're going to bring them in as the conversation is progressing. Will you please introduce yourself to our listening audience?
Certainly. My name is Minister Micah Johnson. I serve as the Minister of Pastoral Care at the Bon Air Baptist Church. I've been preaching the gospel about 11 years, and just enjoy working and being employed by God for the kingdom work. And my emphasis specifically is on young people. So.
Amen. And that's what we want to bring into this show here about young people. We know our program is geared up towards our young men and women to let them know that they do have a future. God knows the plans he has for them. Now, as I would like to ask you, what is your professional career? What do you do for a living, Rem?
Well, my 9-to-5, I'm an IT technician. I'm a network engineer. And I've been in that field for about 8 years now. I enjoy it. For the most part, it's pretty much working with computers and for corporate America.
Amen. And now, talk to us about the value of having an education and having a skill, because when you're on network computer, you don't have to necessarily work for a company. You can end up working for yourself. Now, what is the importance of having a good education?
Well, it's critically important. It's an added bonus to being to, and it makes it easier for you to be successful. Of course. With or without your education, you're going to definitely need to have God to be successful at anything. But you got to give God something to work with, and so our education is what God has given us as a way to secure our future. I finished high school, college, and got some certifications in the line of work where I'm currently working, and I have found that it is very rewarding. When people are trying to examine you and judge whether you are worth hiring, when they find out if you're worth hiring or not, that's pretty much one of the first things that they look at is your education. And were you able to sustain education enough to finish and complete it? So it's not a deal breaker. For you being successful, because there are a lot of successful people in the world that did not finish high school or don't have any college degree. But on the flip side of it, there are a lot of people who are suffering because they did not finish.
You're so right. You're so right. And we know as we look around society and the landscape, and we know our young people are seeking to be successful, but the successful that they're seeking, the successful living that they're seeking is not godly. How do you, as being a man of God and just being a man, navigate through those rough terrains of life when you are resisting to take matters into your own hands?
Well, there are two things. I was raised by my grandmother, and so, there were a lot of things that that ordinarily, a lot of kids got away with or, got to do that I just wasn't exposed to. But the way I, those temptations and, difficulties that a lot of young people deal with, I just never really had the same desire for those things. It was never really a temptation for me because it was not something that I wanted to do in the first place. I wasn't really big on smoking or drinking. Now that doesn't necessarily mean I didn't have my own temptations, but the way I navigated through those was simple. It just didn't fit me and what I wanted to do with my life. And so, growing up in foster care, had a lot to do with it when I was able to see those things take total control of one's life. And it just became a problem for me to see people, throw their life away because of, the temptation that they yielded themselves to. And when you see that, that's what motivated me to say, no, I don't want to go that route because I've seen what this can do to other people. And so I chose the path that I wanted to be on, and that's what I stuck with.
Amen. We have a couple of callers on the line. We'd like to bring them in to say hello and to just reinforce what you're just saying here. Just hold on for a second, and we're going to bring them on, and you may be able to speak a word of encouragement to them.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the net. Good morning, caller. You there? Amen, amen. That caller have walked away from the line. We're going to bring in another one here. Good morning. You're on the net.
Hello?
Yes, good morning there, Mr. Daniels. We have Reverend Johnson on the line here. He's just sharing with us about the plights of our young men and the skill level that it takes to navigate through in this society in which we live in. Would you like to say hello and chime in on the conversation?
How you doing, brother? Reverend Johnson.
Good, how are you?
I'd like to ask you a question. On the onslaught of this new election year, what do you think President Obama, one of the candidates that's trying to come into the office of the White House, what does he need to do in order to start up some kind of job program some kind of educational project to help our children?
Mr. Daniels.
Mr.
Daniels. We're talking about our young men right here. We're talking about our young men.
I'm talking about the young men. I'm talking about the youth having jobs and careers. What do basically say he needs to do in order to get them motivated into wanting to be a computer expert, a doctor, a lawyer? What does he think it needs to be done at? What level? That's what I'm saying.
Well, are you talking about what does our president need to do? What part does he play to help aid that?
Whoever's going to get off into the office this year, next year, what do they need to do in order to install our youth in order to be wanting to be somebody? What kind of programs do you think?
Well, there are a number of programs. You've got to first make sure that those areas where our kids are suffering in poverty or there's a lot of violence and things like that, you got to make sure that there's an alternative in those areas for them to turn to. A lot of times the lifestyle that these kids choose is really not a lifestyle that they chose, but it's a lifestyle that chose them. And we got to provide other opportunities, whether it's better college funds, scholarship funds that can give them a way out of the life that they're in, different trade school programs where they can have access to where they can do better for themselves. Find another way, maybe some sort of programs that can channel the energy that they have from negative energy to positive energy. It starts there with putting money into those places that change the lives of our children. It's not just about church and home training, but we got to make sure. A lot of times kids don't go to school because their parents can't afford it. So instead of letting them stay on welfare, there are other things that we can do from the White House, maybe put in programs like that allow our kids to be enough chance to be at life to be more successful and have better
options. Amen. Amen. Brother Dane, that was a very, very powerful question that you asked, I remember, here. But we want to take it around to the grassroots level. What can we do as people that's born-again believers? What can we do to make a difference in the life of our young people? Yes, we always look at outside sources, but what can we do internally? What can we do right in the here and now? And we want to and we thank Reverend for coming on and just sharing his experiences and the opportunities that's affordable to him, and how each one of our young men are very gifted and talented. They just have to harness that talent and gifting. Now, Rem, as you navigate through life, you've been a challenge at every turn. Now, you have a hobby that you enjoy doing. Would you share that with us?
Absolutely. I'm a musician. I play drums. I'm a vocalist, but I also am a disc jockey. I know that doesn't sound too good. Term disc jockey doesn't sound too good connected with the word reverend. But what I do is I only do certain types of events, like weddings, family reunions, corporate events, things like that, church events. those are the only type of events I really pretty much stick with. And I did it for a couple of reasons. One is because I don't want to do anything or be in an atmosphere that offends my faith or who I am as a man of God. And secondly, the reason why I chose to do all of those types of events is because those are ones that actually pay better. I enjoy music of all types. From my personal preference in music, I enjoy of all types, from jazz to country to rock to R&B. I'm a connoisseur of music. Got well over 40,000 songs in my library. So I really took that energy that love that I have for music as a whole, and I decided to use it to share it with people I know, and it became a hobby. And I happen to do some money on the side with doing it, and I have a blast doing it, enjoy it.
Great, and I'm glad that you shared that with us, because that's really, I wanted you to come on to the show, because our hobby could turn into our career, and how you can
absolutely
actually do things in this world without being attached to it. And you being a DJ and doing in the serving at going to parties and different events, that you don't have to and you can pick and choose. That's what I want to lead to. You can pick and choose the type of work that you want to do, what type of program that you
absolutely
want to be a part of. Our young people, sometimes they feel like that they don't have no choice.
Right.
And you being a realm and being a man of God, so you do have choices, and you can be a part of the world and be separated from the world. And I
absolutely
like that. And I'm glad that you were able to share that. And our listening audience and our callers that's on hold here, regardless of what we do in life, as long as we keep God first, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters.
That's true.
Hey, and go on. We're going to bring our guest back in here, Mr. Daniels here, because he wants to just chime in on this also. Mr. Daniels, you still there?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
You know, that's kind of coincided with me. You know, I'm a musician too. And some of the things I have been listening to, like I'm very adept at playing jazz and rhythm and blues and also with gospel, you know. And some of the things I've noticed in the secular world is that they haven't thought of a mixture of rap music with gospel music. Some of the things that Kurt Franklin went through when he first started out trying to set up his style. A lot of folks set him out of so he said he wasn't doing the right thing, And kind of, hearing him for a while, but at the same time I was listening to Shirley Sheila talking the other day. She said he might talked about it. And now I ain't my down until I learned that things will change. Things change. Nothing stays the same. Even my change, And so she learned to accept style that really it's all praising God, no matter what the style.
Yeah, I believe that we have to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that, as long as that is what the way we worship, then it shouldn't matter. You're going to have people judge because that's not what they like and that's not what their view is on how worship ought to be. But as long as their worship is sincere and what you offer to God is in spirit and in truth, then it shouldn't matter. I'm not personally, I'm not a fan of rap music at all, but I do not mind when young people take pen and put it to paper and come up with lyrics that glorify God. I have no problem with that. So what, it comes with a nice beat. They could be doing it for somebody else, I personally, my main concern is because there are a lot of gospel artists who don't do it for out of spirit and truth. There are some who just do it for the fame. And that ain't
for the fame.
That's work.
Yeah, that's another thing. I've been learning, they got this this program that they have them competing against each other. And a lot of these contestants leave away brittle because they don't get chosen, And it's all about God. It's not really about you being number one singer in America,
Amen, amen.
Yeah,
Reverend, as we're getting ready, Michael, I want to call you that there because I know we're friends. We've been talking to each other for quite a while. But as the show is getting ready to wind down, we have 10 more minutes here. But I would just like for you to just share with our listening audience that in spite of their chosen career, they can still honor and please God in anything that they do. You seem to have a good handle on that. You know, you are, you know, you work professionally, and then you also have a hobby that you're still honoring God with. Now, I want you to just tell our young people that they can't do it.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned the word can do it. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The emphasis on that text is through Christ. We have to make up in our minds what type of person we want to be. But on the flip side of that, we have to also make up in our minds whom we want to serve. And sometimes the devil will present us with opportunities that oppose their blessings. And we choose money over integrity or money over character. You know, there are times where I've been offered to do certain types of events, and because I knew it didn't line up with who I am, I said no, because what's more important to me than making money is making sure that my integrity is not compromised. And we live in a world and day and time where the love of money is the root of all evil, more now than ever before, and people are just doing any kind of thing just to make ends meet. And I understand that, because when you're in poverty or when you don't have a lot of money, you do what you can to survive. But you have to draw a line somewhere, and determine what type of person you want to be. And sometimes you just have to say no and turn things down. You got to be that person. And I believe God rewards faithfulness and rewards integrity with new opportunities. I also believe that he allowed bad opportunities to come our way to test and see what type of person we're going to be. God wants to know, if you really do want to be successful, how bad do you want to be successful with me? And so we have to choose a lot of times which one we want to do. That's why the Bible tells us to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. So I chose my pattern, and I chose my way of life, and thank God it worked out for me. I did have challenges. I still have them. But at the end of the day, what gets me through is knowing that God is the one that provides for me. It's not my education. It's not my skill. It's not my hobby. It's not my love for music. The only way I have what I have, that I drive what I drive or wear what I wear, the only reason I am blessed with the little bit I do have, is not because of what I know, but it's because of who I know and who I rely on. And ultimately, that's where all the credit goes. The fact that I am educated and the fact that I do have a skill are just added bonuses to what God can work with. But with or without those, God provides for me. My grandmother did all of what she did and accumulated a very nice house, very nice wardrobe, drove what she wanted to drive. She had a nice income. She had all of it with just a high school education. But she taught us that how she got it was trusting and depending completely on God, and making him Lord of all in everything she does. And she constantly showed us that it had nothing to do with what she done, but had everything to do with who she knows. And I took that with me from a child all the way up to an adult right now. And with that being said, that's how I get where I am. That's how I was able to be successful in life. And I owe all that credit to him. Like I said, the education and the skill were added bonuses. But for the most part, my success has everything to do with who my God is.
Hey, man, that is so true. Because as I go down to the jail and the prison and the juveniles, and I tell them, hey, the same God that you seeking and have a desire for in here is the same one that's able to keep you out there. And I went to do is just be within the will of God. Sometimes people say, God, I want to be where you are, but they don't want to move. They don't want to do anything. You know, as you were sharing your experience and your encounter with God, you say you had to put yourself in that position for an education. You got to go you know, you have to apply yourself to get an education. For a job, you have to apply yourself for these jobs.
Yeah.
And it's the same way about God. God is going to use us, but we have to position ourselves to be used by God. And you know, and Reverend, as we get ready to wind down, I share with our young men, the juvenile, this blind man named Bartimaeus, and he heard that Jesus was coming to town, and he positioned himself to where Jesus was. And I always thought
right.
about a blind man. How do you position yourself? That's called determination. You have to be determined to get out of this situation. You have to be determined to make to do the best that you can. You have to be determined that there is a God. And he knows what's best for you. Rev, this has been a great conversation, and we have a couple of callers on hold here, but we realize that that this time is well spent. We want to thank you for being available this morning.
Absolutely.
And we're looking forward to and this has been a great interview. This has been a great interview.
Absolutely.
And Rev, we would love to have you to come on at a later date.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Just let me know. I'll be more than happy to come back. And it's been a great experience for me, too. And be more than happy to share anything I have with your listening audience.
Amen. Well, great. Have a blessed day, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you. Y'all have a good one.
Bye. Amen. That was a great interview there. We have a couple of callers on hold, and we're going to see if one of them is there. Good morning, caller. You still on the line? Amen. Our caller had dropped off there, but we pray that they enjoyed our interview there with our two guests there, Sergeant Major and Reverend Johnson. Amen. Good morning. You're on the net.
Hello.
Good morning. You're on the net. We have about 2 minutes here. Brother Daniel, would you like to say a word of comment regarding our show? And we want to thank you for calling in. We had two great guests this morning.
It's really a great thing to hear a young person talk so positive like that, because most times you hear it now, most people talking real negative about the situation and lies are there, or they really don't know what direction they want to go in young place in life. And it's real good to hear a person that has a positive opinion about the lives, telling the world that I'm going in the right direction. And I have God. I don't need God. I have God as my navigator, my navigator. And he's steering me in the right direction that I need to steer, to pull other people unto me. That's the main thing. You're pulling other people into God, showing the world the goodness of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the thing.
That's the thing. You're so right. Brother Daniel, we want to thank you, brother, for calling in. And, you know, this show could never be what it is without you and the listening audience. And we thank you for your comments and your observation of the show. And, you know, and I'd just like to share with our listening audience while I have you online. Richard Daniel is going to be a co-host of this weekly internet program as often as he can be. So he's going to be able to call in and talk to our guests and encourage our listeners to call in. So we thank Brother Daniel for taking up that challenge.
Yeah, I got a lot of hosts, guests I want to bring in, you know, and we're going to have an exciting time and learning and informing, really, you know, like the internet goes all over the world. It's really, most of the times, everybody that's really seeking their voice be heard can really be heard through your, you can call it a ministry. You got a ministry to Brother Lewis. This is your ministry. This is your ministry of information.
Amen,
right?
Amen. Well, we thank God for allowing us to use this here and for people coming alongside of us like yourself, brother. Like you said, for one plants and one waters, but God and only God gives the increase. And we thank you for watering and planting. We never know what facet of life that God allows us to work in, but we thank you for that. And Brother Daniel, we got a minute and a half. Now, would you please give our listening audience a word of encouragement with over 30 seconds, and then we're getting ready to sign off and do what God helped us to do today. You have 30 seconds, my brother.
Okay. I'd like to encourage the youth and the young people of our city, mostly the city of Dallas, because we have a situation that's happening in our nation that is really pitting
supposed to be our people against each other. Really, that's what it's leading to, that our youth cannot enjoy themselves or be who they really want to be without getting oppressed by other people. And I want to encourage everybody, put your trust in the Lord, because that's the only thing that really can make you be a successful person alive and guide you and to prepare you into what's going to happen in the future. Because in our
Amen.
Future,
Brother Daniel, we thank you, brother. We got to sign off. God bless you. Have a great day.
Okay.
Amen. Brother Daniel, be back next week to continue that comment. God bless you. And as we get ready to sign off here, we have a word of prayer.
It's the weekend your wallet has been waiting for. Right now at Old Navy, pay no tax on your entire purchase. Get fashion essentials like super soft tees, crazy comfy hoodies, and the hottest jeans. And relax, there's no tax. Just in time for back to school, shop kids' styles for up to 60% off and totally tax-free. Plus, get an extra 10% off when you spend $50 or more. Hurry in to cash in on this tax-free deal today and tomorrow only. Run to Old Navy. Tax-free, valid 8/5 to 8/7. Kids' sale 7/28 to 9/2. Select styles only. It's the weekend your wallet has been waiting for. Right now at Old Navy, pay no tax on your entire purchase. Get fashion essentials like super soft tees, crazy comfy hoodies, and the hottest jeans. And relax, there's no tax. Just in time for back to school, shop kids' styles for up to 60% off and totally tax-free. Plus, get an extra 10% off when you spend $50 or more. Hurry in to cash in on this tax-free deal today and tomorrow only. Run to Old Navy. Tax-free, valid 8/5 to 8/7. Kids' sale 7/28 to 9/2. Select styles only.